Trains, planes, automobiles, dogs, birds, distractions of every stripe, every variety, does not stop me. Ladies and gentlemen, the show will go on from out of doors here in beautiful South Florida. Thank you for joining me once again on another Martin Zender television episode, MZTV, we call it. And I want to make sure you know this, and this is an important point, and it will take you a long way in the scriptures to help you understand the scriptures. One, God is love. Yeah, that's a big one. But you could possibly be brainwashed into thinking that eternal torment could fall under the umbrella of God's love. And this could be tragic because nothing could be further from the truth. And your question would then be, and I'm going to go back to this letter that I started yesterday. Well, Martin, what about the verses in Scripture? God does tough things. How can you not say he doesn't do tough things and things that human beings would think would be not right? I never admit that he doesn't do that. In fact, I admit that he does it all the time. Yes, God created evil. First, Isaiah 45, verse 7. And he's the God of the universe, but he has to build an opposition party. He has to build opposition experiences. Builds them, constructs them. It's like a backdrop, right? He has to build them in order to show his heroes and his heroines. That's why he needs both vessels of dishonor and vessels of honor. And I'm telling you, if you are a vessel of honor, and you are, you're listening to the show, you believe in God, you can just thank God, because I'm telling you, it had nothing to do with you, absolutely nothing to do with you. I'll never forget, my father-in-law, he told me that he used to writhe on the floor saying, what if God makes me a vessel of dishonor? Excuse me. He was so upset thinking that God could make him a vessel of dishonor. But he was already a vessel of honor. Once you wake up in life and find out what you are, I'm a vessel of honor, then I'm telling you, it's your lucky day. You've won the lottery. You're a vessel of honor. And I want you to feel so thankful for that today, because it didn't have to be that way, honestly. You could have been a vessel of dishonor. And this doesn't shock you, and you're not filled with glee and thanksgiving and praise until the day you realize that it really did have nothing whatsoever to do with you. Because a lot of us were raised thinking that we're a vessel of honor because we're good people. But if you think that way, you don't have the proper thanksgiving for God. You don't have the proper praise and joy and just incredulity. Like, you do feel like you've won the lottery because you have. Well, Martin, what about the people who are vessels of dishonor? What about those people? Tough sledding. It's just... The thing is, you cannot accept the fact that God creates vessels of honor and dishonor if the vessels of dishonor end up in an eternity of torment. That's where Christians are forced to come up with human free will. They're forced to come up with them thinking they're worthy because they can't handle... I forgot to mention sirens. They can't handle the idea that someone who God creates as a vessel of dishonor, someone who has no choice, like the title of yesterday's show, they can't stomach the fact, and nobody should be able to stomach this fact, that these people would be going to hell for eternity. Because if they would end up doing something crazy like that, then it would be God's fault. Welcome to the world of, what do those people call themselves? Calvinism. Oh, the Calvinists. Yes, sir. That siren, they're probably going to pick up a Calvinist right now, a Calvinist who has looked in the mirror and finally faced his teaching that, oh my God, I make God responsible for sending people to hell for eternity. The poor Calvinists, there goes another one. Another one bites the dust. They just aren't quite sure if they're one of the chosen ones. Well, here's the good news, folks, is that even vessels of dishonor, they will be judged righteously, and that deals with the question I was asked here. They will be dealt with righteously. They will be dealt with fairly. They will be adjusted. And they will come into the life that God has for them, because Jesus Christ died for their sins too. And it's all going to work out great. But you got to feel bad for the Christians here, because they're kind of forced to take credit for their own salvation. I do feel sorry for them in this way. Take vessels of dishonor. They clearly see that God's the potter, humanity's the clay, and from the same lump of clay, he makes vessels of honor, vessels of dishonor. You can't help not reading that in Romans chapter 9. But if you have the default setting of eternal torment in you, if you think that that's true, and most people just assume, well, we know eternal torment's true, it's all over the Bible. Is it all over the Bible? No, it's not all over the Bible. There's not one verse in the Bible that proves eternal torment. Listen to me, not one verse, not one verse. They're not willing to look at the verses and analyze them, look at the right translation. Anyway, so you're reading these verses and, okay, well, you think to yourself, well, these people they're going to hell, that's it. So I'll give Christians credit for this. They're forced, I mean, anybody in their right mind, which would exclude Calvinists, anybody in their right mind could not make God responsible for that. God purposely brings people into the world, foreknowingly sending them to an eternity of torment. Nobody in their right mind, of course, this accepts Calvinists, could tolerate that. So the Christians say, well, we have to let God off the hook. God wouldn't do this. So we have to say that these vessels of dishonor are that way because of their own stubbornness. Yay, yay, we've done it. We've done it. We found a solution. These people are just bad people. They just didn't do the right things in life. They just didn't take advantage of all the opportunities to believe in Jesus. They just refused to go to the Billy Graham crusade. They refused to buy the Bible. They refused to watch the David and Goliath cartoons when they were kids. And the Christians then they say, great, okay, we solved that problem. But there is an unintended, maybe even unforeseen side effect of this. And that is that if you're going to make vessels of dishonor that way because of their own personal demerit, then you're forced to make the vessels of honor that way because of personal merit, which is not a hard pill for them to swallow. It's an easy pill to swallow. Oh, you mean I got to take credit for my own salvation? You mean I get to look down at other people now for the rest of my life just because I rescued the vessels of dishonor from, I rescued God from the responsibility of sending vessels of dishonor to eternal torment because he's the one made them harden? I guess I'll just have to take that. I'll have to take the credit. And they do. Here's the beautiful truth, is that once you relieve your mind, once you relieve your conscience of the horror, of the unscriptural nightmare of eternal torment, then wonderful things happen. It's like taking, like a surgeon taking a bullet out of the heart. Things start to heal. Or you take the virus out of the pancreas. You take, there's a bad thing somewhere that's screwing everything up, right? There's a fly in the ointment. Yeah, there's a gnat on the ham sandwich, whatever it is. Once you take a gnat on a ham sandwich, all right, once you take the thing out, everything then goes smoothly. Once you take eternal torment out of the picture, because it's false, then you see the whole vessel of honor, vessel of dishonor thing. Then you can all of a sudden believe scriptures. And the beauty of it is you can still read these hard-ass scriptures over here, the ones that say that there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth, and that some people will be cast into the lake of fire. Yes, you can believe all that. There'll be judgments. And yes, that's all true. But all the judgments, and we're getting back to this letter, you find are remedial. All the judgments work toward the betterment of the person being judged. They are not punitive. They are remedial. That is the beautiful thing. And I know I'm repeating that from yesterday, but I'm screwing it home today. And also, another good side effect of this is that now you will see there is, when you read that out of the same lump of clay in Romans chapter 9, out of the same lump of clay God makes, now we got the mourning doves, turtle doves, same lump of clay God makes vessels of honor and vessels of dishonor according as he wills. And the scripture specifically says that it is not in accord with the human will. For one thing, Ephesians 1:11, God is operating all things in accord with the counsel of his will. That's Ephesians 1:11. Romans 9 specifically, it is not of him who is running or him who is willing, but of God the merciful. And if you are a believer, you were chosen to be a believer. It really does have nothing to do with you being a better lump of clay than the unbeliever lump of clay. There wasn't an unbeliever. You understand this? There wasn't an unbeliever lump of clay over here and a believer lump of clay over here. The potter from the same lump of clay fashions one into a beautiful vase and another into an ashtray. And it really makes you sympathetic toward the poor ashtray, honestly, toward the people like Hitler and in that Romans 9 context, Pharaoh. You really gives you a human sympathy for them, because you realize ultimately it's not their fault. They're still accountable. Yes, they will give an account to God. We all give an account. But being accountable doesn't mean being responsible. Two different things. The weatherman is accountable for the weather. He gives an account of it. He tells you why it's so hot today. Well, this high pressure cell moved down from the Canadian Rockies, and then this low pressure cell moved in from the Atlantic seaboard, and he gives an account, but he's not responsible for it. Likewise, when we stand at the dais of Christ, we give an account of ourselves. And those unbelievers in this life who just weren't given belief, they're just vessels of dishonor. God made them that way. We're all going to be going, you're going to be a little more kind, a little more understanding, a little more sympathetic when the judgment comes for these people. They just simply weren't chosen. They weren't given the faith in this life. So I never even got back to this letter. Somebody wrote me wrestling with these things of why people who are vessels of dishonor would even be judged at all. Why God would even discipline them. Well, God disciplines us, and we're believers. God disciplines those he loves, right? Hebrews chapter 12. God disciplines those he loves. He loves us. Well, he also loves the vessels of dishonor. He loves them too. Why? Because I started my show this way. God is love. Love cannot include eternal torment anywhere in it. That is insane. It's ridiculous. You have to be in a cult to believe it. And millions of people are. But love can include discipline. Yes, love can include remedial judgment. Love can include the great white throne. It can include the judgment of the nations, Matthew 25. It can include the indignation and fury spoken of in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Yes, it can include all that. But you must, from now on, think of all of that as remedial, as purposeful, as bringing the vessel of dishonor around to the truth. Here's the hard, cold fact. God needs good guys and bad guys in this grand production that we call life. He needs both. You were chosen to be a good guy. That's your role. This is like a big movie. And God's the author. He wrote the screenplay. And he cast it. But there were no casting calls. Nobody auditioned. You didn't audition to be a vessel of honor, and the vessels of dishonor did not audition to be that. God cast them all before the opening credits. God casted everybody. Everybody was in their place. Watch the beginning of Jesus Christ Superstar sometime, the film. All the players arrive on a bus to play their roles. There's the guy who's going to play Caiaphas. There's the guy who's going to play Peter. There's the guy who's going to play Judas. And there's the guy who's going to play Jesus Christ. All written ahead of time into the script. Some actors make their living playing bad guys. They're the heavies. We call them the heavies. And they make their career doing that. Guys like Robert De Niro or Al Pacino, I don't know, heavies. And Margaret Hamilton played the Wicked Witch of the West in The Wizard of Oz. Kids were scared of her the rest of her life. Talk about being typecast. That lady was the Wicked Witch of the West, and she couldn't shake it for her entire life. Ended up doing coffee commercials. Folgers, I think. It was at Maxwell House. So whatever role God wrote for you, you're playing it. But it was decided before you even came on the scene. That's why I say you could be thankful as hell when you wake up, when you look at the script and you find out you're in a movie. I'm in a movie. Oh, holy crap. What part did I get? You look down and you see that, I'm one of the good guys. Whew, thank God. Another guy comes in, looks at it, finds out, oh, Jesus Christ, I'm the frickin' antagonist. I'm the bank robber. What the hell did you write me in as the bank robber? Drug addict number one? What? Drug addict number one? I'm drug addict number one. Great. Yeah, that's horrible. It's horrifying to wake up and find out you're drug addict number one. That's your role in the movie. That's why we need to have a little more understanding, a little more patience, a little more kindness toward vessels of dishonor. And as always, I'm teaching myself as I say this to you. God made them that way. They're no different than you, honestly. Same lump of clay. Not a good lump here and a bad lump there. Nope, same lump. Boom. You won the role of a lifetime. We're the stars of the frickin' movie. Right along with Christ. Not only are we the good guys, we're the A-listers. We're the stars. We're royalty. We show up at the premiere in limousines. And now let us all thank God for his indescribable gratuity.